So when I was looking to transfer, it was a lot of one-on-one, and it didn't feel like I got lost in a huge university because I knew that if I came here, there was going to be someone I could talk to about every aspect of the courses I needed to take, but also too, I loved the smaller classroom sizes, and I liked how interactive and immersive all of the learning was going to be. It wasn't just going to be me sitting in a room with a couple hundred people and a professor who didn't know my name.
To find out more about transferring to William Peace University, visit peace.edu.
Couldn't somebody tell the Panthers this was a basketball weekend? The NFL is just trying to claim every weekend on the entire calendar, huh? The draft is in what, like 18 days or 21 days? You couldn't just wait? Couldn't wait a week? They went and gave Derrick Brown, their stud young defensive tackle, the bag. $96 million extension over 4 years, and the money everybody cares about, the guaranteed money, $63.165 million guaranteed for Derrick Brown per an ESPN source.
Well, Dan Morgan said that he wanted dogs when he first got introduced.
Bingo!
He's a young player, and Tim, he seems like a dog.
He backed up their words. He said, we want dogs. Signed a dog. Derrick Brown is one of the better interior defensive linemen, but he does, like, he's a run stuffer. He is a guy that ends plays with a bit of anger. He is a large fellow. There is something to be said for them not being all talk. So far, that, like, maybe one day they'll learn, and when I say they, I mean the Dungeons & Dragons duo, D&D, Dan and Dave, Dan Morgan and Dave Canales, the new GM and head coach. Maybe one day they'll learn that they're not under oath at the podium, but thus far, just about everything they've said, they've done. And what I mean by that is Dave Canales says, hey, guess what? One of my advantages is I don't have an emotional connection to any of these guys. What happened shortly after that? Dante Jackson, get out of here. Hayden Hurst, get out of here. Von Bell, get out of here. Right? Dan Morgan says, I want some dogs. Brings in a couple of guys that Evero had worked with on defense prior, and now they lock up Derrick Brown. By the way, he's tied for fourth highest paid defensive tackle in the league with Quinnen Williams at $24 million per year. But it might be even more impressive than that. The three guys that are more per year, Chris Jones, Christian Wilkins, and Justin Matabuke, they're all higher paid, but they were all true free agents. They could go test the market if they wanted to, had much more leverage. Derrick Brown, there's still a year left on his deal, plus they could have franchise tagged him, so they didn't have nearly the urgency to get a deal done with him that those others had to get done. They were all true free agents, so it's a big, big cash money deal for Derrick Brown. But do you know what else it shows? It shows that Dave and Dave, or Dave and Dan, the D&D duo.
Dungeons and Dragons
are still, they're legitimately evaluating. Right?
And they're committed.
At least they're committed to Derrick Brown. I was a little concerned that they were like, you ready for a wild reference? This reference, I don't know why it popped into my head. I have not watched this show in a long time. Have you ever watched How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
There's a episode, I believe, where they talk about what stuff can you keep that your ex gave you, right? Like, you can't keep their hoodie, but, like, what if they bought you a lamp? Could you keep a lamp? And some were arguing, like, anything your ex got you has to go, right? Your new significant other shouldn't have to, you know, click on the light of what your ex got you. And for a while, it felt like Dave and Dan were that way. Like, anything Scott Fitterer brought in gots to go, other than Bryce. If it's not Bryce, you gots to go. And then they were just going to methodically move on from everybody. This tells me, no, actually, they are looking at individual cases and deciding which ones they like and which ones they don't. Right. They are. It's not just they moved on from Hayden Hurst because they didn't like Hayden Hurst. It's not just that they moved on from Hayden Hurst because Hayden Hurst was signed by the previous guy. And just like a lamp that you got from your ex, you got to get it the heck out of the house. It's they moved on from him because they evaluated it and didn't like the way he fit into their future. And the way I know that is because they just signed Derrick Brown. They could have said Derrick Brown was chosen by somebody else. Get him out of here. Trade him for whatever we can get for him, which you could argue they did with Brian Burns, right? They could have given a giant near top of the market, top four, top five, like they did for Derrick Brown at the position deal to Brian Burns. They chose not to. They chose to move him. This Derrick Brown deal tells us, well, they didn't just move Brian Burns because he's not their guy. They moved Brian Burns because they did the evaluation. He was going to be too expensive for the value he brought or whatever it is. So you know, maybe one day they'll learn they're not under oath at the podium. But until I catch them, you know, leading us astray or throwing up a smokescreen, it seems like what Dan Morgan and Dave Canales tell us they're going to do, they then go do. I'm not sure that's the best way to conduct business, right? If you become known as like the super duper honest group, because then you're like, no, you know what? I don't think we're going to trade the first or our second round pick, the first pick of the second round. Everyone in the league is going to go, all right, they're not trading.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to, or maybe the opposite, right? We are going to trade it just so everybody thinks there's not somebody you love at that spot, and then you can take them. Sometimes a well-placed smokescreen helps. I don't know if they're capable of it, to be honest with you. Dave Canales, you ask him a question, he's like, yeah, I'll tell you the answer. It's ready for another wild reference. Anytime Graham's doing the show, we have to have some wild movie references. In one of the Austin Powers, Will Ferrell plays a character who can't not answer a question if you ask him three times. If you ask the question three times, he has to answer. That's kind of Dave Canales. It's like, are you going to sign Derrick Brown? I'm not telling you. Are you going to sign Derrick Brown? I'm not telling you. Are you going to sign Derrick Brown? Yes, we are. $63.165 million guaranteed. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete DeRuta, America's wealth coach and best-selling author. Coach, one of the big questions I always hear is, do I have enough money to retire?
Well, maybe, maybe not. The most important thing is you have lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll design that plan for the next 10 people who call. No cost or obligation. Put yourself in control of retirement.
Call 800-691-3215. You can also text Tim to 600-700. That's T-I-M to 600-700. You'll hear from Coach Pete and the Capital Financial Advisory Group. Quickly though, Canes, the heck was that? That first 15 minutes. Oh, never mind. No Andy Katz, by the way. We're playing it by ear here.
Omaha.
There we go. For those of you that aren't in the radio world, these events, the Final Four, the Super Bowl, those types of things, there's always going to be those changes. But that just gives me more time to ask this question maybe two or three times. Canes, the heck was that? The first 15 minutes yesterday.
Yeah, not good.
Against Boston. Did you have 4 days off or did you have 4 months off? That's kind of my question. It looked like a game that was lost because you were rusty, because you hadn't played in a while, because maybe you completely checked off and truly unplugged in those four days. But it took you a full period to get back into like professional hockey. And by that point, the game was over, right? You'd given up the 3 goals and you know, Boston is a good enough team. They're just not going to let you decide to get back in the game. Here's Rod Brind'Amour after the game about that sluggish start.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. I mean, they made good plays, give them credit. And then, but I think we were sluggish to start. We weren't ready for that pace. And that's kind of, you know, I think that's on me. Just knowing that the way we took these last 4 days was more mentally getting away, and we weren't ready to get to it. I mean, you know, after the first, it was probably a fairly even game, but the game's pretty much over.
Yeah, exactly. After the first, it was a pretty even game, but the game's pretty much over. Context is important there, because guess what Boston is doing once they're up 3-0? They're going to play a little bit more conservatively, right? Like,
Park the bus.
If you play evenly with a team that's up 3-0, they don't see it as playing evenly. They see it as them finishing out a victory.
I hate to say it, that game sort of felt like it was over before it even started. With the goal 20 seconds in.
I'll put it this way. My son wanted to play. He just had his birthday. He got one of those carpets that has roads on it, so yeah, the little Hot Wheels can drive on it. He wanted to do that. I was like, I got to watch the game. Canes haven't played in a while. About 10 minutes into the game, I was like, you know what? crank out the Hot Wheels. Let's play. We'll leave the game on TV, but we're not going to watch it. We're going to be down here going.
We'll have it on as background noise.
Exactly. And to be quite honest, that's what it should have been used for, right? If you needed to take a nap, put the Canes game on last night. If there is good news, I guess Rod Brind'Amour came out of it still pleased with Freddie Anderson, who did give up some goals, but played a fairly good game. Here's Brind'Amour on Freddie.
You know, gave us a chance anyway, kept us in there. Freddie made some good saves tonight too, kept us in there. It's kind of unfortunate on the first one, really. He makes a save and gets kicked in. You know, it's, you know, that's kind of how the night went really at the start. So, but he was good, but the rest of our game wasn't really great.
Freddie's been really good since coming back.
Fortunately, suffers his first loss.
First loss, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Right? It's now you don't have to worry about
it. 4-1 loss in the regular season is better than a 4-1 loss in game one or game two of the first round of the playoffs.
And really, the defensive effort in front of him, I mean, every goalie is going to say, I can stop them all. But the defensive effort in front of him put him in a tough situation on a couple of those early goals. So I'm not. If there is something positive, it's that Rod, and I would throw myself in there as not super disappointed with the way Freddie Anderson played, especially with how well he's been playing this year. He's pretty darn good. The interesting part is looking at the season long, because now you fall 4 points behind Boston in the race in the East, and you're tied with Florida. Obviously, they're both in the other division, so we're talking about Eastern Conference Finals possible matchups here. But I'm wondering if with that gap and a little bit different of a kind of hierarchy in the Eastern Conference, if the Canes don't stop worrying about maybe home ice because there's teams above them that are less likely to be caught and start just kind of, for lack of a better term, ramping down and ramping up, like giving guys rests. Maybe we see Morrow. Maybe we see D'Angelo. Maybe we see Kotkaniemi in there. Not because those players are going to be in any kind of a, intended playoff lineup, but just to get guys that will be in the intended playoff lineup a day off here or there. You want to be playing well. As we saw, you don't want to be rusty. But at the same time, you want to make sure everybody's healthy and fresh leg going into the postseason. And maybe a loss is a little bit of a blessing in disguise because it gives them the comfort to look at these next six games as just preparation for the postseason rather than some kind of chase for home ice. I don't know. I'm stretching here. The fact of the matter is this. I've been saying it since, 3 weeks before the season. Nothing the Canes do in the regular season can render this year a success or a failure. They are to the point in their build where the postseason is the only thing that matters.
Yep.
It's where the Buffalo Bills are. It's like there are certain teams you've accomplished everything in the regular season that you possibly can already. You've been the division leader. You've been top two in goals allowed. You've been so many things in the regular season. And you've had success in the postseason, but you haven't achieved the ultimate goals. So these next six games, you want to win a President's Trophy? You want to go on a hot tear to make sure you have home ice in the Eastern Conference Finals if you face the Panthers? I'm looking at it and saying these next six games do very little to prove anything about this team that I don't already know. I know they can be a great regular season team. I know they can be a wildly successful statistical regular season team. What I need to know now, and the only way their season has proved a success, is if they translate that success into being a wildly successful and statistically relevant postseason team.
Yeah.
So the next six games, I mean, we're going to track the standings because that's what we do. We're going to track the points because that's what we do. But I also think we need to understand that it's about figuring out the way you want to use this roster in the postseason. That's Rod Brind'Amour's number one, and it's figuring out which players are going to play well in the postseason.
At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.